Hello, sorry for the technical delay. This is the regular meeting of the Emergency Preparedness Committee on Thursday, July 23rd, and just communication center. And I'm calling this to the meeting order. First up is roll call, which we need to do roll call because we have. Do we need to do a permission for Paul to join, or we're good? Okay. Roll call. Director Paul.
Here.
Director Hutt.
Here.
Director Me. Here. Kay Blondes. Katie Gluck.
Here.
Annette McCoo.
Here.
Paul Moss.
Here.
Awesome. And Laura Westphal.
Here.
Yeah. All right. And then online staff is David Miranda, our interim general manager. Our consultants, Mary Morris Mayorga, Rachel Jackson is here in person, and Johnny is also in. All right. Public comment. Public comment. Open. Anybody?
I would like to suggest that we request that the board allocate money for decent audiovisual equipment in this room.
What a concept.
As we're sitting here, I think we should formalize it. And, you know, when we have Carol Echo in here, I have a picture actually of what it looks like. But there's a projector here.
Mm-hmm.
A speaker, something like this, and the screen is on the front wall there, and everybody can see, they can see us,
mm-hmm.
because there's a camera taking a picture of the room, which sits right in front of the the board there. And it works very nicely. And people say that they can use it easily.
Do you have a microphone with it? With your
yes,
speaker?
There is a microphone. And we actually have four tables because we have 15 people or so, 15 to 20 people
okay.
in the room at a time. So sometimes we have to move the microphone back and forth on a table.
So maybe that brand of the microphone? Are you doing a Zoom as
no,
well?
No, I think it's not the microphone that's the issue. You've got all these computers going because people want to see what's happening. If you have none of those and just the projector putting the information up where everybody can see, now nobody sits at the end there because obviously they can't see then. It's simple. You've got the projector, you have a speaker, there's a camera to take the picture of the room so that the people who are hybrid can
so
see
can
what's
we,
happening.
Can I suggest that maybe this, there's we have a need that get addressed, and it seems like that's not really an agenda item for this meeting, to go into detail?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not an agenda item, so that's why I threw it in.
But we're also trying to solve the problem now, right?
Making a suggestion for
what well, and I think it's a good suggestion. I just don't think we should spend a lot of time on it.
But, suggestion. Yes. I think the suggestion to get audio has been brought up before. So if you want to make it formal, maybe it's a good idea. We're having this.
Okay.
So, sorry, can I just interrupt? We had gotten some information from our IT team, and I think storage was kind of our bottleneck of where to store the equipment. So we'll get back to what we can do to improve it. But staff can take care of that.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Any other couple of comments? I have one and I forgot it. I thought of it like 2 hours ago. So I'm just gonna move on. Unless I remember that. Okay, so let's continue on then. Public comment closed. Paul, you know public comment, correct?
No.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on. Adoption of consent items. If you have a chance to look at the minutes, glance at them. I didn't say anything obvious. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second. Moved by McCoogry, seconded by Gluck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm going to abstain because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay.
And sorry, I think with someone out of the meeting, roll call.
Got Director Paul, abstaining. Rose,
Yeah, I've abstained. Oh, yeah, abstained.
okay, Director Watt.
Yes.
Okay. Kay Blanz. Katie Glove.
Yes.
Annette Matouli.
Yes.
Paul Moss.
Yes.
Laura Westphal.
Yeah.
Myself. Yes. Okay. We're all set. Okay, but one is with one abstention. So that's 7 and one abstention. Abstention. All right, moving on, old business done, new business. All right, work plan. Excuse me.
Do you need the work plan?
No, but is somebody receiving, we're doing status updates on the work plan. Was anyone going to give that, or do we just go through the plan itself?
Johnny, did you have any updates on any items that you wanted to provide to the committee?
Just status
Oh,
updates.
yeah.
I can run
Okay.
through them.
Okay, great.
Or I guess it's just kind of my report.
Essentially, you can report the status on items that are currently in progress. If there's nothing that's being done on a particular goal, because maybe we already have that going, there's no need to discuss it unless
Okay,
you
so
ask.
well, I don't have anything for the first one, which is the evacuation update with the red flag. What's it called? The ordinances. So that will be the general manager. National Night Out is August 4th, Tuesday, and we have the red flag ready brochures available. I think Rachel pulled some of them for anybody to take. To distribute to their block parties. More than 50% of applicants for the hazardous vegetation removal grant have submitted their reimbursement requests already. So we're making quick work there. The Kensington Ember Exclusion Program measurements are being validated with wildfire defense mesh. So we're looking at a 4 to 6 week on the first series of mesh. To come back to Kensington. So more to that, there's a lot of fine-tuning we have to do in the background. Earthquake preparedness subcommittee, we met as a subcommittee and discussed some concepts to do household individual household and community-wide type initiatives. So what we're going to do is break into smaller subgroups on more focused items so that way we can essentially work easier with our availability in smaller groups so I can have better calendar logistics there. And what else? CERT. They have a conceptual website that I saw. It's really awesome aesthetic. I mean, it looks like a really great thing that they're going to be launching soon. So hope to get that out to the community. And they had a booth at the 4th of July in El Cerrito, which Laura, actually, do you want to do some updates there from your engagement? I think you can speak a little bit better to
Okay. Yeah. I helped with the
that.
set up at the 4th of July booth. We were right next to the fire department, which was nice. We had a lot of people come. Some people were previously engaged in CERT and want to reinitiate their engagement. A lot of people signed up for communication and also the training that we have October, November of this year. So we were able to gather those communication comms and kind of sent out a hey, we recognize that you signed up and now we want to engage with you. So I think it was well received. People were excited to see us. We got to meet a lot of people in the community, not only in El Cerrito and Kensington, but adjacent cities like Richmond, Albany, who are also very involved. So that mutual aid kind of sentiments across boundaries, which is lovely. The other thing that I think we had our meeting last week, kind of recap that event and what our plan is and what we're doing right now is we're getting our filing done. We finally chose some roles for the nonprofit filing that we had to for the board. And then we're talking about the role matrix. We're doing investigation into the data. data collections so we can maintain a master list and keep the continuity going, which I think wasn't there before. So we're making a lot of strides. It's really good.
So you actually have a board now.
Yeah, we have a board. It's only a three-person board. And again, that's governance, not operational leads. We're building those out. And then the structure, we're working with the fire department on what activation looks like.
You're on the board?
Yeah, I'm the president.
Okay. Well,
Default. It was just to get the filing done, and I'll be sharing like a role matrix that I put together on what needs to be done and what each one looks like. So it's not like I'm board and forever president of the whole organization. So
And this is for Kensington, sir, or Kensington El Cerrito,
Kensington
sir?
El Cerrito, sir. There is no Kensington, sir, that I know of. There's different kind of fractions of people that maintained, their, preparedness and their radio presence, K6. But I don't think there's an actual Kensington. That's why we've kind of created like a mutual group. Because I mean, there's a lot of, you consider the demographic of Kensington, there's not a lot of participation that we're seeing, where there's very active people in El Cerrito that, we're so adjacent, it doesn't make sense to not be kind of one considering our county lines.
And share fire department. So
Yeah,
is the
fair.
fire department, they're providing,
Sponsorship only.
okay, not time or
Well, Chief Castrone, who's their battalion trainer chief, he's there, he's supportive, he reports back to Chief
yeah,
Sailors. And I got to meet Chief Sailors at the 4th of July event, which was really great because we had kind of a meeting of the minds of what the expectations and alignment should be.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's great, actually. Wow.
So I think the other things we need to really work on, which is coming down the pipeline, is our shareholder crossboard with the Caro Echo group. And I'm also a part of Caro Echo, so it kind of helps as a liaison. And then as this group's involvement, we'd love advisory assistance kind of partnership as well. So unless you guys want to join, sir. You got a training coming up. I know Katie Gluck was at the refresh with me, and so was Annette when we did our incident command. So
I'm interested. I just need to find time. So it might not be this fall, but it might be after that.
okay.
Yeah, I voiced off fireworks and yeah.
And a lot of this, and I have to give a shout out to Johnny for all the support and communication and work that he's done in helping us kind of get off the ground and giving advising, and like he does a lot. So shout out to Johnny.
Yeah, thank you,
Did
Doctor.
you say you're trying to get nonprofit status?
Yes, we're in the middle of filing. Like we have a volunteer, Vinny, who actually did the website amazingly, and is also gathering all the stuff, including the liability insurance through the fire department extension and stuff like that.
The
So
fire department.
I think there's like an amendment to it, and it's very,
Oh, that's too late.
they're trying to figure out it exactly, but it's not going to change their premium rate.
Oh, only if they liability insurance to cover what?
Incident
Well,
coverage.
but it used to be that once you graduated and third course, you sworn in and something like that.
As a group, as a function of the filing.
Now you're part of Homeland Security. That's a service under Homeland Security. And then you were covered. Well, if you are out doing something cert-wise or business,
There's
you're covered.
been changes. FEMA is not
Mm-hmm.
as good, and we're a little bit more autonomous because of the way the funding needs to happen for this group, considering like our service agreement with the fire department. So
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that that's how it used to be. And so much has changed with Homeland Security that who knows, yeah.
mean, we can talk about this offline, and I'm happy to get more information from you guys.
Having just been through this whole circus, I think the difference is that individuals might be covered by FEMA, but a board of directors is not. Oh,
Yes.
I'm not hoping that.
And
I gotta be.
then
Oops.
because we're only sponsored, we're not, supported. fiscally through the fire department, it's a different thing for
Right,
us.
and that's a whole different type of liability.
Yes, and so
And
that's
so that
how we
personal injury.
circumvent that. We also have waiver stuff going on. So,
As you go forward,
well,
the things, but.
That also can affect our contract with El Cerrito. So that might be something we need
It's
to.
not according to what they were working with chiefs. So
okay.
I don't think it has any intrusion upon that. So,
well, if their insurance goes up.
It's not a premium marker. It's an addendum that I understand. But this is something I am not talking about, and that's something I brought up when it was proposed. So we're not creating a larger premium or what they call an XMOD to the to any other workers to operate.
So in order to get you, I mean the C3 that So in order to get that, are they saying that you have to carry liability insurance?
Some no, not carry, but at least have some kind of that could talk to
when you are on a board, you want to protect yourself.
Right.
And so that's where it comes from.
Right.
And there may be one or two of the things you still want to do.
So
then should we have our legal people look into that?
I don't think so, because it sounds
it's
like,
already being sorted, and I think it's good. And all those things I think have already been considered. So, but thank you for the concern and understanding.
Yeah.
And understanding the fiscal responsibility is also kind of a scary thing. We want to make sure we're not impending more costs or higher premiums.
Well, I mean, if that's something that the district that our residents are a part of, then I mean, that's just something to consider about for the budget.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I was going. I'm trying to figure out if that's going to bring the contract piece up.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will because this is all voluntary. This is why the fire department created that separation for them.
And as far as support of it, I think the contract says that they will support it they will support it in Kensington if they support it in El Cerrito.
Okay,
if they're not doing it in El Cerrito, they don't have to do it for Kensington.
Right.
And they're not supporting it. But, I mean,
so this is adjacent with the actual contract and the fire department's agenda. So we're all good.
Okay. Okay. Let's thank you for that.
Thank you all. Anything else, Johnny? Did I hit all of the notes or parts? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Sorry, my audio was going out. Was that a question for me?
Yeah, did I hit everything?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's we're really excited to show what's kind of information soon. I think we got a lot of traction, and it's really exciting to see it. And everyone's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. So thank you everyone for all the support and participation too. I know there was a lot of legacy information and advice passed down, which helped really shape this. So we're excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Was that the end of your update for the work plan, John?
Yes.
Okay. And there's no other, Katie and I do not have any update for the LRADs, so, but it's still on. Yes, we will meet on.
I have a question on the on red flags, not the red flag day, but can we have all the sites for the red flag placings been decided?
The county.
That is a question I think for the general manager.
The sites have been decided, and how many of the property owners that have been approached for consent, how many of them have?
The asking.
Hold on, that was.
What's the answer?
Don't know what was said online. I didn't hear it. But Johnny, did you hear Katie's question about the placement of the
red flag that you created for the community?
I haven't been able to finalize what our first round of site visits were. I'm gonna have placed them wherever we can if we have the event of a red flag, but I have to focus on some of these priority things that we have in progress right now. So flags will go up if we have a red flag day. It's going I'm we'll get them up if we have a red flag day. The overall formal plan and policy, not policy, but the procedural stuff and you know, the outreach of who's going to deploy them. I'm just gonna have to pause that right now because we have too many other things that are on my plate that I have to finalize.
Okay. Was that your reflection regarding or plan things? Okay. Let's end. Okay, Annette.
Yeah, I noticed something in Berkeley. I saw a sign. Apparently, they are setting up to have the sirens go off, and people know to look to see what the information is. And this looked to me like a really interesting switch, because then you could give the total information, and in whatever number of ways forms that people might consume it, and not try to give the information verbally over an LRAD, just have a silent.
Well, that's one of the beauties of it is flexible. You can manage it in so many different ways, the one way or the really direct messaging. And then depending upon the occasion of the emergency and which part of the community you're trying to address. Because on some of the sites, it may just be affecting a small part of the community. There's a tree down blocking spruce, so you don't want people going out that. So then you direct that messaging there. So the capabilities are quite broad and flexible.
Well, I have a question though.
That's probably another option.
So LRADs, I always thought LRADs, they would all go off. It's for some very general thing. LRADs can be used for very specific things. Oh, I didn't realize that.
And redundancy is key in certain areas. So that's good. Another way to alert residents for during emergency situations.
And obviously it's going to cross borders.
Yeah.
But what did it feel birthplace when they practiced?
You didn't?
No.
I think it depends upon how the speakers are set up. Because you have the audio engineer that comes in, but if we didn't get the people along Bobcat Canyon that who are in Berkeley would not heard it. Because where we are.
Get up all the Chief Mays over there and ask them about that.
Yeah, I'll let the Berkeley people do it.
Oh, no, you didn't let them know if you're interested in that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we should not.
It does respond to these things.
Yeah.
I'd like better clarification on some of the questions that were asked here as to when this system is going to be set up, where we're going to have a series of locations on which streets. I'm not too clear, where people cannot park because a red flag warning is coming up. What I heard just from Johnny now is that it sounds to me like he's busy on a lot of things and we're going to get to it, but if I'm not mistaken, the chance of a red flag problem is probably September, October. It's not very far away. So what are we doing? I mean, are we ready for the potential red flag problem of this year? That is all.
This is David. Let me answer that question. This is not really on Johnny. This is on me, and I'm continuing to work with the county because there's nothing really we can do until they fabricated and installed the signage. That is part of the legal aspect of the three streets that will be impacted. They're getting close to doing that, but it hasn't happened yet. In conjunction with that, I'm also having conversations with the police chief, and I will be having a conversation with the fire chief on implementing the different protocols involved in the National Weather Service predicts a red flag day, what takes place just before that, during it, and after it. So it's not that we're not doing anything. It's that it's behind the scenes because it hasn't become official yet in being established.
And just as a reminder, we are talking about two different things. So David is talking about the public works red flag, no parking signs. I am talking about the temporary indicating public awareness campaign that a red flag has been declared. Those are the red 7-foot flags that just stand on a spike, and I can put those up within an hour. So that is less of a, I guess, a big ticket project. I just have to build out what that entire procedure looks like, engaging the public and handing over those flags to people within the community to activate that. That doesn't involve me. So I, you know, when there's a red flag day, these temporary flags will go out. Those are, remember, everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? These are not street signs. These are vertical flags. So David and I are talking about two different things.
David, when do you think you're going to have something finalized with the county as far as having those signs up?
So Katie, again, you're asking David when the public works street signs about no parking on these particular streets will go up. That is a David and public works question.
I know from David, but he said he was working with public works and it's coming along. So I was just wondering if he had a ballpark idea, figure. I'm like, when it might happen.
It's the county. The county the times three.
You know, well, I mean, you know, obviously.
Any idea this year? Never mind. Okay, so did that answer your question, kind of?
Not really.
But it clarified things,
continue.
Right? Okay.
Continue.
But it's in the works and they don't have an official update to give you us information. And that makes sense if they're in the process of doing the handoffs with the public county and also figuring out who and how to activate the deployment of the flags. It sounds a little bit more complicated than just a decision-making time frame, right?
Wait, yeah. You just said flags.
Flags and sign, they're two different things, right?
Yeah.
Both of them are in the works. Both Johnny's working on the flags, David's working on the sign. And they're in kind of different holding patterns right now.
Okay. Any other questions on the work plan? Okay, and no more questions. All right, so we're going to move on from the work plan and continue to 5B, discussion on evacuation plans. Did anyone want to introduce this?
I missed the discussion last month about this. What was there a discussion about? Was this focused on the school or is it more general?
Well, this month, summer's going really crazy. Basically, it was brought up by somebody, Gail, KPLA formally requested that the district conduct an evacuation plan. General Manager Aranda received input from the police chief for the police department's involvement. Basically, they are going to be focusing on operations. So, and in terms of budget, I think there was a budget item there as well. They said they're busy. I'm hoping and kind of expecting that they're volunteers will hopefully join as well because they have volunteers and it's on Facebook to volunteer. And so hopefully they can be involved in this process. But basically, if I understand correctly or remember correctly, the board had thought we had, you and I had said, let's bring this to the EPC and then do it through the EPC. And that's basically what happened. So Johnny has been working on evacuation, how this is going to play out, right, Johnny?
David, looks like you wanted to speak. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I thought that this was brought to the committee, but I think the flavor of what I heard at the board meeting when we discussed the POA's letter and their request for an active evacuation drill was to look at taming that down, because I believe the consensus was that an active evacuation drill is very expensive, very time consuming, and doesn't really pay off in the long run because it's not realistic to a true emergency. Johnny, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to chew this one over. I do have some concepts that we can test. I'm just gonna need some time to develop these and slate it for maybe later in fall to bring to the community, not the community, to you know, our agencies to get a little bit of buy-in. I think there are opportunities for us to innovate and to go around some of these traditional obstacles of needing staffing and expenses. So I'm open to ideas and feedback so that we can, you know, bring something to the table that is fruitful and productive. So I am open to that.
So I've got a, so I just attended the meeting of the East Bay Wildfire Coalition of Governments yesterday. And at that, Richmond reported on a evacuation drill that they did. And they put a lot of time and effort into it. And they reported to us that 80 cars were involved. And they said it was about 400 to 500 people. Although when you divide 500 by 80 cars, I think they're including a lot of the volunteers. And I think the thing we really need to think about with these evacuation drills is you're really going to be involving the people who are already engaged. And our big challenge is the people that are beyond that. And how useful will a drill be when we just get the usual suspects? It's not going to be representative of what we actually need to do.
And when we did it before, we only did the sum of the rich, which is one reason I'm saying it's totally unrealistic, because the ridge is going to be joining all the people coming down, and it was a small number of people. And that's why I feel that it was not a very useful exercise.
This is Paul. Can I speak? I 100%, maybe 130% agree with what Rodney said. And that's what I learned from being an observer several years ago, but not that long ago, for the Orinda and Moraga evacuation drills. And as Johnny's heard me say multiple times, consider they don't have them anymore. And there's some reasons for that. And I think you basically, Rodney covered them. I mean, that's what they came, that was their conclusion. Too expensive, too time consuming for the benefits that you get out of it. But you do get some, and we probably already got some about, we identified bottlenecks and that kind of problem. But in terms of considering it any kind of simulation that will mimic a real emergency is a joke in my mind. I, like I said, when I watched the Orinda drill, they had 110 cars. I was one of the people who had to keep track, come down the hill from North Orinda, It was like a parade, like a Macy's. I've called it over and over, a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade with a fire engine in front, with the lights going nice and bright and so forth. It just really wasn't realistic. They did at all. They did learn some things about bottlenecks in their community and so forth, but obviously not enough to keep doing it. That's really all I have to say about that. I mean, I think Johnny and I have talked about some alternative drills that wouldn't be the same. But to take a very small part of Kensington and have people who are notified, remember, they're notified ahead of time and they volunteer. And I think Rodney is 100% correct. Again, 120, I think I said, when you consider that most of the people that are going to participate are the ones that are already on top of things anyway. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Hold on. I've seen multiple hands. I saw Kay, then Annette, and more.
It was just a question for Rodney. Where did they evacuate to? What was the destination?
They evacuated to the where the Hilltop Mall was. In the it was the places. It wasn't the entire Richmond community. It was really places that are kind of like El Sobrante. I can get. I believe I can get a presentation all about it because they had a pretty extensive PowerPoint deck.
I think that would be useful.
I mean, this is one of the things that Kensington really, I think we do this well, but we should be paying a lot of attention to how all the other communities are doing these things and learning from their example.
Annette.
Yeah, I was going to say, having participated in the one that we did, district, I think it might have been Jim, who pointed out that the Arlington Sunset intersection would be a problem. It was no problem for that drill. You would not pick that up from that drill.
Okay.
Way evacuated from BART station.
And remember, Johnny has a bunch of data from that evacuation drill that he can bring to bear on any new drill that we come up with, whether it's in-person drill, in-person drill. Laura?
I guess I'm a person that believes that drills are important regardless of participation and who's participating, because if you're not doing it consistently over time, things get forgotten.
Yeah.
So even if it's only like 20% of the population that is active in participating in these sort of things, that's 20% that's not going to be chaotic and contributing to the negative side of an actual evacuation. And to be honest, if you have that percentage going towards and knowing what's going on compared to the rest of the population who has no idea because they didn't participate, at least they'd be shepherding them through that situation.
They could be leading the levees.
Yeah, leading the levees. So I think it's a good idea. I agree that it could have been done better without costs and like some of the parading that Paul was talking about. But that's how we can innovate differently as a smaller community with different means, right? And a different demographic of what we do. But I think before we start saying, yes, we're going to do this, to really dig down and see what could be done and what information we can capture again that's actually credible, because that's still data, that's still information.
Yes.
So I'm for not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but innovating it in a way that's going to be productive.
I agree with you. And also, I was getting messages over Firewise about Berkeley doing little evacuation house parties. I don't know if you saw those. As I think I got it as a Firewise meeting now. And I thought that was an innovative way. So, I mean, maybe we just practice. Here's my if. I don't know if it's good, but you know, different pockets of Firewise or new CERT groups doing their own evacuation, you know, and maybe spacing them out once a month or whatever. So that way, eventually, we can keep track of the entire community having had that opportunity and practice, but not having it the entire community at once, because then you're more likely to get participation with smaller groups doing it by themselves.
Hi, this is go ahead. This is Paul again. Yeah, I mean, we've been pushing for that for a while. Johnny and I and others have talked about this, using the Firewise communities to start doing small scale things that would involve preparation for evacuation. I think that's the way to go. And I'm looking at the letter that was sent to David, I guess, about from was it Feldman? Yeah, and it says in the middle of the page, we know that participation in the 2022 evacuation was well under 20%. Yeah, it was well under 20%. I don't know where that number, why that was even pulled out. Just look at the number, was 100 or 200 people out of 5,000. That's not anywhere near 20%. I just think, yeah, a drill would be fine. I agree with Laura on that, but not this kind. We need to think it over and make it worth the time and effort that goes into it.
That was horrible. Craft my job and walking there, then she, you know, it was totally choreographed. But that being said, I think we need to have multiple drills, multiple letters. We can look towards our traffic report. Scoping out from the different areas where there are bottlenecks, where there's going to be merging, that's going to be a problem. Okay, and have drills in those areas, because that's going to be a problem, and people are going to go, oh, and that's going to make a thing, and we're going to figure it out there. And then also, I don't know if the fire department is still using it or not, but remember we had that all the cave groups, little parcels, things to do them. If we had evacuations, most different parcels, those groups. And see that was used. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because each area has its own problem areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so each group, those people in that neighborhood would have to concentrate on their particular problems in the area and talk about it. And then I think hopefully be more prepared.
But will we be prepared when it's not a realistic drill, so that when you do the thing that you all drilled, that you're whatever 20% of the community did, and then all the other people do something different, and you're like, wait, they're not doing it right. Well, what's the point?
Well, it's right.
This is going to be in real time. To me, the big challenge with evacuation is pre-evacuation, is
right.
Convincing people that there are times when you should not be up in the hills. And that's what we have to sell this community on,
yes.
That when it's time for evacuation, we'll do the best we can, but it's going to be chaotic, and it's not a great situation. And that I just am very skeptical that drills are going to help.
This is Paul again. I just turned on my video so Rodney can see me shaking my head. Yes, yes, and yes. I totally agree. And what I was going to save this, but I'm going to go into it now, I think. Real quickly, I've talked, I think at least once, maybe at the last meeting, about the effort that I'm putting forth with the block captain and the assistant block captain on South Lake Drive. We are getting ready to make a transparency that on one side we'll have a street map of Kensington, the other side we'll have a suggested go bag list. And at the bottom of that same page, on the other side of the map, there we have listed approximately, I think it's 5, maybe 6 emergency radio stations that we checked to make sure that they would be the ones to look at. And then a separate piece of paper that's going to go out to all our residents with a person delivering it to them and talking to them. And that sheet contains the 4 entities we believe strongly should be signed up by everybody on that block, and that is the CWS, of course, Nixle, and then Johnny's Kensington Red Flag Day Alert. I think that's really important because of what I talked about last time about the confusion between what NOAA posts and all these other weather agencies, and then lastly, watch duty. And all that's going to go to every house with a person to talk to them about it and see if they really are going to pay attention to this.
Okay.
And that's a grounds up kind of thing, which I think is the only way to go right now, because nothing else has worked in the past. And I don't have a lot of faith in the Kensington public just all of a sudden waking up.
Yeah. So Paul, remember when we talked on the subcommittee, you were going to connect those people with us at CERT so that we can get them on the Map Your Neighborhood and make sure that we're all consistent in our preparedness across the board.
Actually, I'm sorry, I don't remember. What was I, what did I agree to?
So you agreed to reach out to your two block captains off Lake Drive,
yes.
Steve, and stuff,
right.
and let them know that we're assimilating that kind of preparedness group, and that you were going to have them either connect with me, or I'm happy to give you my information to connect with them so that we can make sure that we're not doing individual, strange, different, ununified prep. And I agree, the preparation part is our foundation. That's exactly what we're doing no matter what. So it's not just a one-time campaign. That's all we do. So that's the first part. And then I liked what Katie was saying about a layered approach, not a performative mass, you know, critical mass event, which I think is what the complaint is with Rodney and Paul, right? Where it just, it seems exaggerated and large.
When you do
and
this
not
layered helpful. Approach, things may happen that will not actually happen in the real event.
Well, we're not talking layered as in choreographed in a time frame of execution. It's just what parts need to be foundationally understood, and when it comes time to orchestrate, knowing when those need to happen. So it's not doing it all at once. This sounds kind of convoluted, and I have to think about it more to actually like put together a proposal ideal for what that sounds like. But I think that's one opportunity or thought around it. So anyway, I just wanted to connect again. Paul, connect me with your block captains, please.
I will, but I'll talk to you separately about this a little bit. I want to go ahead with this. I really don't want to be delayed any more than I already have by my own problems. And we thought we were going to get this stuff to the residents on Lake by the end of this month. And it looks like it's now going to be at least certainly into next month and probably the end of it. But we're getting ready to do it. And I will tell you, I will get you some information about what we're going to do. But I don't think it possibly could in any adverse way cross anybody else's plans, because it's all old stuff. None of this is new. We're just driving it home, as Rodney, who may remember saying this or not last time, the thing that works, I think, is a one-on-one conversation with people. And I just don't think we're doing anything that will ultimately end up being contrary to anything you're talking about. But I will give you that information. I'll give you the sheets that I just talked about.
Great. Yeah. And I have some stuff for you too. And then we can be on the same page. And I'm all for supporting your plan. I think it's amazing. I would like to help.
Well, the trouble is, and maybe you guys can come up with something a lot better, it's horribly inefficient. And I'm real good at being inefficient. I'm very efficient at being inefficient. So that's the problem with it, you know, walking around to every house, you know. But we're going to do it, and we'll get those 35 houses online. And I'll have trouble with a couple of them, I know it, I expect that. But if we can get something like, you know, 90%, and that's what I did last year. I did that with Watch Duty. I personally went to every resident on that block, and I have a strong belief that 80% stayed with it and actually know how to use Watch Duty and self-educate as to the dangers. And again, to go back to, I think, what Rodney said again, my big push is pre-evacuation. Get the hell out of Dodge early, period.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
Johnny has his hand up, but I do want to put in one quick thing.
Yeah, so let me just clarify a couple things. I know it's really interesting to do an evacuation drill where you're sitting in your car and you only see what you're observing and you're wondering, was this even fruitful? We did the 2022 evacuation drill in my first 9 months of being here in the community. I can say that doing that evacuation drill accelerated everything that we've done in the last 5 years, 4 years after that, the subsequent 4 years after that. It accelerated and framed what I needed to do for this community. So another thing on top of that, we need to also understand, when we're all talking about a drill, we are using our own construct to talk about that. So when Paul and Rodney are saying a drill, it's different in how I'm defining what a drill is. So if you're thinking what, you know, visualizing what resources that looks like, that's also the agency's talking about a drill and what that looks like. So we need to focus on what the needs are. And this, so how many of the people in the room have experienced an evacuation order, an alert coming to your phone that there's an evacuation order happening right now? How many people have experienced that while living in Kensington? How many people understand how many, okay, and just broadly across Kensington, how many people can understand what that does psychologically when that's happening? Because I've experienced it very frequently, and we need to train people and drill them on the communications part. The receiving the education, receiving that alert is also a drill component. That doesn't require any staffing, doesn't require resources, doesn't require closed roads. We could drill things like the receiving of an evacuation order and how people can move through that reaction, because a lot of people will look at it and start second guessing, or they'll look at a phone number coming in and it's, you know, we know that they need to have their caller ID to the CWS registered. We know a lot of people aren't using watch duty. How many people can we get onto watch duty and observe real situations that are happening across East County as real situations to observe what's going on there and to see real live evacuation orders being ordered across the state during times like this? We can drill those virtually. So that's one aspect. We can do drills on a block to block level. That's two. That doesn't involve staffing. That doesn't involve money. We can do things that are activated with just the residents. So again, when we're looking at the 2022 evacuation drill, how many FireWise communities did we have activated at that point? Zero. Now we have 22 plus information. So we have to think about what our opinions are and contrast it to what has happened and what has come out of it. So if anybody says, what did we really get out of this? I wrote a report on it, and everything that happened after that evacuation drill was directly tied to that evacuation drill that we did in 2022. So again, evacuation drills could look very different depending on who you ask, but everything that I want to do with an evacuation drill will be based on our needs for this community and how to move that needle, because we have to do everything we can to move that needle, and we did.
Thank you, Johnny. Two things. One thing I definitely wanted to chime in about was I thought it was really important that the residents were notified via CWS for the 2022 drill, and I think that's an important part of actually part of the drill, and I think you hit it right, nailed it right on the head. So I appreciate that, because that was going to lead into your thing like that. But also, it sounds like, how do you feel about culling all of our ideas again, like you did for the rebrand of the fire plug? Is that something that would be helpful for you?
So what I can do is I can solicit a poll and see what everyone's opinions are and feedback, and you know, I would suggest just saying we could do this, and what does that look like for me as an individual and my vision, and we can collate all that information and come up with something that meets everyone in the middle. So I mean, we're very open to innovation here, and I think we should show every community that evacuation drills can be fruitful, they can be productive, and they don't have to be costly.
Yeah. It also fulfills the need of what was requested by the community, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of serving the purpose of why we're here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actionable and a demonstration of our capability.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Any other comments on evacuation? Public comment? He's getting mass.
No, thank you.
I would just like, oops, did I move myself? Yeah, I would just like to add the emphasis on the urgency. As far as I'm concerned, it's fire season right now. Just look at the, I think it's the Biscar fire I read about on, well, I saw on watch duty this morning. It's already burned 70,000 acres northeast of Susanville. Admittedly, that's not next door, but obviously it can happen. I was involved with with some helicopter training with the Mendocino Complex fire back in about 2018. 500,000 acres burned, and that was in July. It's not just around the corner, it's now, or and it could get a lot worse with hot weather. So I just wanted to emphasize that. I think everybody knows that kind of thing, but I just wanted to make a big deal out of it.
Thank you. I agree. Appreciate that. Actually, there's another fire to the south off of 3952. There's like the
Rock Fire.
The one in Pleasanton.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the vegetation has been appropriately cleared and managed. I did hear one firefighter say that that really made a difference in saving the homes.
Oh, that's great.
So they were evacuated, but nothing was lost.
Yeah, they were. That was yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was that day. It was
Day
85.
before. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in out of summer.
It's Tuesday.
Ruby Hill area. Yeah, Pleasanton was what was endangered.
Yeah. Yeah, watch
it. It's amazing.
And it's amazing how people don't know about
it. Yeah, because that was the name of the road. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so any last comments on the request by for the evacuation stuff?
What are we doing going forward with this?
Okay. Johnny, is that agreed? You're going to be taking our opinions or putting out a poll?
Yeah, I'll get moving on this.
Okay. That's great. Thank you, Johnny, and thank you, everybody. And I know there are a lot of fun and awesome and insightful opinions, and please answer the poll. Okay, next up, new business receive status update on the rebranding of the fire plug. I think that's you, Amanda.
I don't know if you heard. David?
Hey, David, did you want to take this one? I think I could probably give that a start, and then I think Johnny might be able to speak to it as
Yeah,
well. But
Mary,
there you
go
go.
ahead. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Johnny, David, and I had a chance to speak about the fire plug a couple of weeks ago, and we've got some great ideas put together to create what I would kind of call, we'll find the right kind of name for it, but kind of an annual report for the district, since all of the notifications go out kind of on an immediate basis when we need to notify the community about things. This would be more talking about what's happened over the past year, what the EPC's been involved in, what kinds of projects, what accomplishments have been done to ready and prepare the community for events. And also, kind of to talk about what it's going to look like for the next year, what the committee's working on, what is important. Johnny can speak more to his ideas on it, but we were really impressed with our discussion. Johnny, did you want
Right, yeah. So
to comment on that?
leveraging the communication channels that we have through digital, through the various newsletters, whether that's electronic or through the Kensington Outlook, we have an opportunity to kind of put short blurbs out, but then really doing a cost savings in doing an annual publication and make something a lot more immersive, visual, that gives the community a sense of pride when they're looking at this publication. So I can mock up what that may look like. And over the course of the next, number of months before the publication, we would be essentially bragging about what that looks like to the community of what we've done. So taking advantage of taking pictures of things that we can put in this publication. So as we know what's coming in the future, or you know, whatever's on the calendar, we know, hey, that would be really cool to incorporate into that publication. So let's make sure that we have great content for that. So essentially, we're writing something in advance based on our calendar of activities, and our accomplishments go in that as well. And then that could be distributed through the blocks, just like we have been with the workbook. The first wildfire preparedness workbook that was developed in 2021, I mailed that to every home. And through my touch points in the community after that, I realized that people were just kind of shuffling that in with their junk mail. Then I started distributing it by hand. Now we have a network of all these block parties that are happening across Kensington. And there's like little libraries that we can stuff this in as well. We can distribute that to neighbors by hand and put them in the retail areas as well.
And there would be an online component for the district as well?
Yes, it would be by default, it can go online as well.
Annette, is this for emergency preparedness or all of KCSD activities?
That would be up to the subcommittee to determine what else goes in there.
Wait, the subcommittee?
Or the general manager. Sorry, the general manager.
Okay.
So I really see it more as emergency preparedness and what kind of is going on in the committee, more of the work here, and if there are other items that are occurring within the district that are relevant. But it sounds like a pretty exciting publication, and I think it'll really kind of take the committee and the district to the next level as far as professionalism and really highlighting all of the important work that's being done.
The comments. This is a once a year, a
once a year.
Was the fire plug once a year?
No, it was four
times. It was twice a year.
Twice a year.
It was fall, spring, summer, strong, fall and spring. And
we kind of did more announcements in that that we're really doing. More on a current basis through our various social media networking announcement channel. We can push things out straight from the website, like the CERT training that's come up, things like that. So if we take care of those kind of announcements, then the publication would be more highlighting kind of projects, what's been done, what, you know, preparedness, blurbs, photographs that really show what's going on, and with especially with FireWise groups as well.
So it's like high level, and then there will be social media communication that's going to be more specific. I have to say, I was really pleased with the police's social media announcement about July 4th and fireworks. And I think they did a good job of getting out the word that they were going to be taking that very seriously.
So the decision to publication only once a year, is that a financial, or is that, it seems unnecessary?
Well, can I just think people communicate in different ways than they did, and in that, like, paper communications is something we see less of, and we see a lot more people getting information from AI and social media. So it's like recognizing that when you mail somebody something, How likely are they to even look at it? You know,
senior community.
We are, but we're not exclusively senior community. You know, in fact, you'd be surprised that the number of residents. I think Daniel Levine was talking about this at a recent meeting, that there's actually a fair number of people, younger families in the community. And we need to, and they're the ones we need to engage the most, because they're the ones who are so busy, maybe with kids and work, and, you know, they're not, they're, maybe fewer of them are getting involved in these preparedness activities.
Being in a disabled community, once we have to concentrate on most people, because they're the most vulnerable.
Well, I'm not saying we don't need to. I'm not saying we don't need to pay attention. We just need to recognize there's more than one group.
In the mail. It's a conversation too. People say, well, did you see the such and such? Did you get your is a conversation piece, and that gets the thought process going, and that ripples throughout the community. So I think keeping this at least twice a year is a very important thing. Important. AI is nice, but I don't
know. And I just can interject here. So not only has things changed kind of societally, our community also has more ability to have those channels on a block to block level. We've got a lot of FireWise leads that are directly communicating with their residents. They're handing out leaflets. They are more empowered lately to communicate with the people on their block. I'm going to leverage that as well, because that's how we're more going to be more a sustainable community to engage everybody. I wouldn't look at this as we're cutting information. I'm amplifying in a more elevated way in the beginning of the part of the spring, late part of the spring timeframe, where we capture everyone's attention before we lose everyone from June through December. Because we know that's happening in Kensington. Everyone disappears for summer, and then all of a sudden it's we've got the October park picnic, and then everyone disappears for holidays, and then they're back for New Year's, and they're like, oh, we need to recover. So we literally have people's attention for a very small time frame anyways, but we can continue to break out the information on a more targeted level when we can, which is a lot more flexible than it used to be. So we can create things that people can print off at home and just distribute to every home on like a newsletter basis. So we have FireWise leads already doing that. They're distributing their information on a block to block level.
Let me ask you, is this a pitch to get rid of the fire club altogether?
No, this is a pitch to elevate its effectiveness, to going from a fire plug into something that's more elevated. This will make a lot more sense when I give you a visual concept, Katie. When you see the visual concept, you'll understand the difference between getting a fire plug that's in the new that has the update of the shredding event on the back that we can get from anywhere, and elevating it to a point where Kensington residents want something that's elevated. I can give you that.
Couldn't we just elevate the content of the fire club?
Well, then you're looking at, okay. So the reason why I did two times a year is because there was a construct to that, that there was a cadence to that, that was kind of based around the shredding event. We can continue to push information out about the shredding event without having to republish the newsletter. So I let's just try this concept, because we have so many other ways to get information out to the community now than we did a year ago.
So Katie, you're asking
and about I think, distribution. Sorry, right? If I could just interject. So when we discuss this with Johnny, I mean, his ideas are really good. And this happens in a lot of organizations where they'll kind of put out a report at the end of the year, beginning of the year, that really highlights what's gone on over the past year. And I know from feedback from the community over the last bunch of years that I've been involved with the Fire Protection District, they really kind of want to see what's happening with the EPC. And I think the professional manner in which Johnny's going to communicate that is really going to show that this committee is critical to the community and to awareness, and to really kind of engage that other layer of the community members, and to leverage all the different ways that we communicate, just kind of the standard things. We can make this a better publication for a lot of different reasons.
You want to say something?
I was trying to understand what Katie's concern was, because I don't think it was heard well. I don't know. Can you verify what your concern is? It's more about distribution.
Well, no, it's John. What even John is saying that to put out these neighborhood newsletters that would be more focused on that particular neighborhood and their needs, and that's fine and dandy. And was implying then that the quality or the the amount of information, pertinent information in the fire flood wasn't really what the community needed. What, and then, and it's not the fire flood, it's the content of the fire flood that needs to be improved. Okay? And then, or the distribution is like, is it because they don't want to distribute this to the entire and the Kensington because it's not cost effective? I mean, I don't understand the whole reason for. It sounds like just doing away with it and just going to community
items. Hey, Katie, I wanna just pull your focus to the last issues. So if you've looked at the last few issues last year, like the red flag version last year and then the spring version last year, it was much more visually immersive. There was little text, much more visual. If you look at the ones from the prior years, it was all big blocks of text. That's what I'm talking about, elevating that experience. We're already doing it.
Just pumping out information, pertinent information, whether it's the shredding is the least of my worries. It's getting pertinent information out to the public. And it's as many ways as we can pump out the information as possible. Because redundancy is one of the most important parts of emergency preparation. Okay, you just have to keep doing it and saying it and saying it and saying it and doing it again and again and again. And if you want me to, I'll say it again, because redundancy is important. That's the same with pumping out information.
Right? Yeah, and our redundancies are built into the FireWise communities, the CERT group, the Kensington Outlook, online distribution of newsletters, social media, and neighbor-to-neighbor interaction.
Okay, Rodney, and then Annette.
So putting out information is really important, and putting out in different channels is really important. But you put out the information, but it also has to be received. So if it's a channel that people, you know, a lot of people get stuff in the mail and they don't, it just goes into the recycling. So we haven't succeeded in that communication. Some people do receive it that way, and so we do need to use that channel. But, you know, what Johnny's talking about, these different channels, like, for example, you know, if you have something really visual, you can put it on the kiosks. You're going to get a lot of engagement on the kiosks. It's just different people are going to get the information in different ways.
Danielle, is it all right if I say something?
Sure.
I'd like to suggest to the group that what Johnny's discussion was with Mary and I was to me very gripping in being something that could have the potential of really capturing the community and the events and actions that take place. The day-to-day, month-to-month information, as everyone's saying, can be distributed in other ways. And I want to remind the group that four times a year, we're taking the time to write a little newsletter that captures action items and information that are going to take place within 1 to 3 months. So if there's a concern specific about information getting out in a hard copy format, we are still going to have that capability. And then, of course, as everyone's been talking about, you use a website, you use other social media platforms to also capture that information. So I would ask everyone to let us give this a try. In being something that is different, but I don't think we're going to lose the ability to still communicate to some degree what the Fireplug used to bring out with the quarterly newsletters that the KCSD will produce.
I think that, as I understood it way back, part of the reason for thinking about changing it was that the fire plug has been focused on fire, and the KCSD now incorporates
much more. And of course, we need to include earthquake, et cetera. So the focus of this this publication really needed to be broadened. And I think that was part of the incentive for getting started on this.
And that was the reason for the name change, because we didn't want to, wanted to just focus on fire. We wanted to, and to encompass all fall emergency, everything that that we could possibly happen. I mean,
and then we rethink the whole thing at the same time.
I also think that I like the idea of the redundancy, and because everybody in the community takes up information differently. And I feel like a male, I know, maybe I'm old, the mailed version of this still has, still reaches people appropriately. And I don't think it means that it's inefficient. I agree that it could be a touch point between neighbors, and that can be enhanced through the own Firewise. In my mind, the idea of getting information out on all these different channels is great. I really do like the twice a year cadence too, because it feels broad enough to get those big picture programs. Johnny, the way you had mentioned the once a year, I kind of see that as well, but I still think if the district finds it important enough to like put out a mailer, I think that's saying something about to the district. And I don't think I think like maybe program announcements are fine for addition to the community mailer that goes out with our trash bill, but at the same time, and is posted online. But I feel that the whole point of this publication is broader. It's focused in emergency preparedness, but it's broad enough that it really deserves its own publication. And I agree that repeating information is key, because if you don't catch it the first time, you can absolutely catch it the second time, and people can refer back. So those are my opinions.
Repetition is important, and in addition, people's circumstances change. So you pass right over things, you know, if it doesn't apply to you right now. But 6 months later, then it might look a lot more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, for instance, like the information like sign up for CEWS, get the Watch Duty app. That stuff's not appropriate for, I would say, the district newsletter, and it's not going to go into the Outlook every month, although that'd be awesome. But instead, this is like, it's appropriate to see that every single time in an emergency preparedness publication. So I feel, I know, I like the idea that we are making a publication and we're distributing it through all these different and new channels, because I think that's important. And that means it's just, it is, you know, getting out to more people. I don't think I'm not ready to abandon the mail. And I may personally be convinced to do once a year as opposed to two, but that's, I am concerned. And I really like all of Laura's ideas. The four times a year did seem a little much to me, but
I was getting excited. It wasn't necessarily, it was a suggestion. I'm fine with two or one, depending on the content of what it is. Yeah. And I agree with the idea of maintaining a distribution that fits all ages and demographics in our community.
Yeah.
So
there might be one main and a supplement that came out 6 months later. You know, the something more substantial once a year, and something that reinforces things once a year.
The annual report, and then the mini.
I already like that.
Yeah, like a
refresher
update. Yeah, refresher or something like that. Hey, don't forget to do this stuff. Anyway, other opinions?
Well, I know we did answer my question about whether it was financial decision. Was that Johnny?
That's
David.
No, it was not a financially based decision. That was to try to create something that's more representative of the district currently and going forward.
Okay. Okay. Well, one thing that I like about it, and I keep them all, and I don't think people necessarily would throw it away because it's on glossy paper. And it's mm-hmm. more
you think everybody keeps it?
No, I have like years back.
Do you think some people put it in their recycling?
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still informed. This is a very nervous community. At least I see that rather. Mm-hmm. And so the more information that they have access to with whatever way they get,
especially now with the, you know, rebranding it and making it a broader topic of disaster, emergency preparedness for any, whether it's earthquake, fire, this is something that's very important. And people, if they have good information in each one of these publications, people will hold on to that because those they can use that for a reference.
Some people will hold on to it.
Well, you know,
it's like we're all different.
That's right.
No, but people still don't die.
Well, yeah.
I mean, some the fire plug or whatever it becomes will be useful to some people. In some people, it won't engage at all. So
that's
we just have to
recognize current, that. That's the current status right now. So if it is what it is when it gets there. I'm excited to see what, you know, Mary and David and Johnny had produced or are excited about, right? You guys have already seen or have a good vision of it, right?
So. Yes. And so I would ask this group, and if you don't agree with what I'm about to say, then I think it's going to have to be taken to the board, which we were trying to avoid. But I would ask that you would allow some time to go by using social media and our district newsletters to communicate information that is pertinent at the time, and allow Mary and Johnny and I to develop this journal, I guess I'm going to call it, of Kensington in a year. And then we can readdress it. But I'm really asking the group here to give an opportunity for some change. And with that said, I have no problem with a number of you that have made comments to submit an article or two or three for the quarterly newsletter that gets distributed through trash billing, and also that's posted on our websites, so that I think some of your concerns would be eliminated by having those types of articles published.
So would that be like a second page insert for the community newsletter, or like separate, but it's still in there, or is that just part of the one?
I would ask, I don't want to answer that question yet because I need to find some information out. And the information I need to find out from some of you individuals that are making comments is, what would you submit to me? For example, if I said I needed an article, what would you submit to me by August 15th that would be part of it? And then I would also have to speak to the mailing house to see how much information we could get in that mailer without, you know, going to an additional expense on postage. And what we've done the last, I know we did it the last quarter, and I think we've done it the last two quarters, is we had information more than a front and back would cover. So the person that developed that newsletter for us developed a hard copy and then expanded it on the website with additional information.
So, David, you're asking us to submit suggestions for an article to fill the journal now? Is that what I'm hearing?
I would ask for each of you I mean, you can collaborate together, or you can each give me a suggestion on an article, and then I would get back to you and say, can you write that? And how much copy do you need?
Okay. And then here's the odd question. Did we ever come up with an idea or a thought on the title?
You can't do the fiery and police bug?
No more plugs?
There's no such thing as a police plug, is there?
I think that would probably come after we have a better kind of mock-up of what it's going to look like.
And we can touch base. But we all agree that the title or the name of it's going to change at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, this is Paul. David, I have one suggestion right away that I've thrown out before. But I haven't changed my mind. I'm going to reiterate it again for the 10th time, probably. A couple articles for this publication, whatever it's going to be called, should be from the Chiefs. I really believe that. Somebody, as I've said before, with scrambled eggs on their hat, with real clout, and that hopefully people will pay more attention to. So with regard to whatever topic it's going to be, early evacuation, whatever, just a focused article from the Chiefs or Italian chief or captain.
Paul, I solicit both the fire chief and the police chief for articles prior to every newsletter being generated. Right. And I will continue to do that because I agree with you 100%.
Thanks. Okay, great. Thanks for doing that.
Okay. Any last comments?
Just for clarification, David, were you asking this group to kind of, you know, like not want to continue with the Fargo while you and Johnny develop some sort of new type newsletter to replace it? Was that your suggestion?
David, did you hear that? Because it's on my computer.
I think I heard that, well, basically, if I heard it correctly, yes, this new publication is replacing the fire plug.
Is that what the question was?
I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. It's in the process of being developed.
So I'm sorry, say that again.
It's
about to discontinue or lessen the publication of the fire plug. Wouldn't we wait to do that until after you and John had developed this newsletter that you're talking about?
So I guess
we want to get rid of the fire plug while something is still being developed. And it's not actually in existence yet.
So Katie's asking, would we consider the fire plug until this new publication was developed and approved?
No.
No, because I mean,
it's a simple publication, answer.
Yeah, and I mean, the publication over history. When I came to the district in 2020, I did the little publication, which was, you know, the little blocks of information that Johnny talked about. That's what we kind of historically had done. We continued it, and then Johnny came in and professionalized it a bit. So, it's always been kind of a staff driven newsletter. So that's the plan to continue, and that's why we're developing this more enhanced version. So we wouldn't want to be able to, we wouldn't really have resources to be able to continue both.
Okay, Katie, whatever your concerns are, why don't you send me ideas for articles to address those concerns?
Let's see. So that is where we're at. We are going to, there will be no fall fire plug this year, and we are waiting to see what staff brings back for the new and improved emergency preparedness bulletin yearly. And then after that comes out, and then let's plan on, as the EPC, evaluating it. That's where we're at. Any other questions?
Yeah. Danielle, I have one, and it's a little embarrassing. I really had trouble hearing the conversation for the first, not when there was the audiovisual problems, but even after that. And I think you addressed the school evacuation business. And if you did, forget it. I'll talk to you on the side or talk to someone else about it. If you didn't, can you take the 8 minutes we have left and mention, please, what is going on with regard to the Kensington School evacuation plans, projections, ideas, anything? I still consider that a critical thing, maybe one of the most important things to be addressed in Kensington.
Is that on the agenda?
No, it's not.
I bring it up at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought she might have done it already. I couldn't hear very well for the first 20 minutes or 15. Right.
Okay. First of all, we're done with the Fire Club discussion. That okay. Future agenda items. Thoughts? Any additions? Yes.
So I mentioned the East Bay Wildfire Coalition of Governments.
Okay.
I'd like to give an informational report to this committee on that body and what's going on with it. And there's a possible vision for the Marin has a body like that, only it's an actual authority. It'd be for next month. So I'd like to get that on the agenda for next month. East Bay Wildfire Coalition of Governments. I'm on that board. And also they would like to do a town hall. I'm thinking we could do it in conjunction with El Cerrito. Then we would get some members of that board, you know.
Wait, for our agenda?
Not for this. That's everything. I will give it, it'll be me presenting to you guys on that.
Excellent. Chance had something and it. For also future agenda items, I guess we'll be coming back with more discussion on evacuation, the evacuation drill. As a separate agenda item, not just a work plan, is that seems to be appropriate. Does that work for you, Johnny? Oh, yeah, because you're going to do the thing. So you could report on that.
Okay, I'm going to reiterate what I said. What about the evacuation of the school? You want to put that on the next month's agenda, please?
Oh, I don't have an update for you. So, I have an update by August. Probably not. The PTA is going to be meeting in August. I'm missing that because I'm going to be in Humboldt for fieldwork for work. So let's put that to September, and I need to move on that, but I have not been able to move on it. So let's potentially do a September future agenda item on the discussion of what the school is doing, and then we can talk about how to incorporate that into the community. So I can.
I'd like to include in that same discussion a conversation about how it is that we can improve the road that comes up from the library to the school. We put that on hold. We're waiting to hear back from the fire chief. The fire chief has received two letters from me. I have not received a response back from him as to his reaction to possibly moving fire engines up through what's called Kensington Park Road, given that in the event of an emergency, other access routes will be jammed with cars. I think this is extremely important. I think these are the things that, quite frankly, we are just leaving to the wayside, and we need to get on top of this.
Okay,
so I agree.
Yes, let's get on
that. That is going to be a September agenda item, and it will incorporate what Jim said as well.
Actually, I'd like my thing to be September too, because I'm going to need to attend the next month's meeting remotely.
Okay, and then Well, there you have it. So basically for next month, we're going to have an agenda item on the evacuation plans, and then following month, those other things. And I just want to go back to public comment real quick. I remembered what I was going to talk to you guys about. Basically, Wildcat Watch is a local resident staffed group that during high fire hazard days, they
They monitor our wildfire cameras that focus on Wildcat Canyon behind us in Tilden 24/7 with volunteers. And right now, we started it like 3 years or 4 or 5 years ago with
5 at least, I think.
Yeah, 5 years.
It's been several years since we had that committee.
Yeah. And so we had over 40 members then, which is great because then you can staff 1 hour per person per day. But we're low on members right now or volunteers. So please put it out with your, consider yourself, consider reaching out to your neighbors and friends to contact. If you need to contact me and I will get you to where you need to go. But we need volunteers.
It takes watching. Is it a 1 hour video that that describes what to do?
Yeah. So basically what it is we monitor 3 fire cameras that are live in the camera, live all the time, and you monitor them for an hour. And so that's over a 24-hour period. So, you know, if you want to do 3 p.m., you can do 3 p.m. if you're fast at signing up. If you want to do 3 a.m., you can do 3 a.m.
And there's a protocol for what to do if you see something.
Yes. And so basically, the goal is that residents basically alert fire dispatch as soon as possible, and we have the ability to react immediately, and it could be 10 minutes, save us 5 minutes or 10 minutes, which makes a huge difference for evacuation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's an article on the Chronicle if you want to look it up. It talks about Kensington. It talks about Wildcat Watch.
Okay. And you don't have to be at home. You can have pre-evacuated.
Yes.
And participate.
You need a computer, right?
Yes. We require a remote coordinator to make this work. So please pass that information around. Secondly, we did Caraco lost Marion Gade, I think, this last week. Yes. And so that was just a kind of dash.
Yeah. Okay. Who is this?
Marion Gade. Yeah. She had cancer.
I know. Let's adjourn this meeting, and the next emergency crisis preparedness committee meeting is going to be scheduled for Thursday, August 27th at 4 p.m. in person. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Okay.